good morning to everyone. We've got about a full house, and the weather's not been the greatest, but we really appreciate the effort everyone's made and that you're out to begin this new year. And as you can tell, as already been mentioned several times with the reading that Bill just did for us, the title that you see above me, we are beginning a new theme with the new year. We're going to be talking about throughout the year this idea of the man in the mirror. And this morning, I'm going to kick off this study together, this theme, by an introduction lesson. And I want to just explain, really, or talk a little bit about the direction in which we're going. And I'm going to use some Bible verses to do that. As you can tell, beginning with quoting, and if you are Michael Jackson fans, and I know some of you, a lot of you are, some of you may not be, but there was a wonderful song that he did. It was not written by him, but a wonderful song he did called The Man in the Mirror, and that's where I borrowed the title from for this whole idea. But it is very much, as you could tell from the reading just done from James chapter 1, a biblical idea. Looking into the mirror, seeing one that needs to make change, and committing to do that. We're going to talk a lot about this year, making the commitment to personal change and personal growth. I'm starting with the man in the mirror and asking him to change his ways. This year we're going to focus considerable public teaching. That is, Wes and I and some of the teachers will be devoting time and incorporating, as Ed did this morning, as we have the Lord's Supper, we do our singing from time to time. We're going to incorporate this idea of taking that self-evaluation, as Ed was talking about, taking this look into the mirror of God's Word and seeing ourselves. And our goal, our overall goal for the year, is going to be for each individual, for me, for you, to look through the mirror of God's Word. When we look in the Bible, we see a reflection of ourselves. We see both what we are, and we see what we need to be. And we're going to do that, and we're going to talk about doing that. The idea of looking into the mirror of God's Word and focusing on ourselves rather than others. There's nothing wrong and everything right with teaching what we all need to be doing, what's right for everybody to be doing, what's wrong with some things that are done, etc., etc. And we preach about that, and we teach about that, but this year, the main focus is going to be on me, on you. It's going to be an individual looking at himself, trying to look at himself rather than look at everyone else. Kind of like when we walk up to a mirror and we're looking into that mirror to see how we look. You know, how do I look? Is everything in place? Is everything in order? That's the idea spiritually that we're going to be doing this year. So we're going to focus on ourselves rather than others. And when you look at this passage, together with the other one we'll add with it, and you'll see all the verses here in just a second, there's a basic four-step process, at least I believe there is, a four-step process that you can find in Scripture, that you can find in these few verses, that really help you to have an orderly approach to making that personal change. So we're going to use that to guide our teaching this year. Here are the verses. Bill just read them for us in James 1. And we'll come back and focus on this passage together with the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that says, we all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror, looking into a mirror, the glory of the Lord. I think you would admit, and I think certainly we can all admit, that when we look in the Bible, we see the glory of the Lord. In the New Testament in particular, but really much of the Old Testament, we see the perfect glory of Jesus. The man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he becomes the ideal example for us to follow. Now, we just concluded a year in which we had a lot of lessons about Jesus. Hopefully you, together with myself and Wes and others, gained a greater appreciation for Jesus. I know any time I really do a lot of studying about his life in particular, I always come away with that with an even greater appreciation for him. And I hope you did. And even these songs that Kenny led this morning, a couple of those songs in particular, looking at that perfect glory of Jesus. But I know that when I look at him, I also think of myself, and I think of how far short I am of that glory. Well, there's a process in Scripture, and this is what Paul is talking about here. The idea of looking into the mirror of God's Word, seeing the perfection reflected back at me, seeing the imperfection in myself, but making changes so that I progress closer and closer to that image of our Lord. That's what we want to do, from glory to glory to glory. We want to utilize this four-step process, and I'm going to outline it for us in just a moment. But we want to utilize this four-step process that speaks to the man in the mirror, the one I see when I look into the mirror. Now, step one, or the first quarter, this next 3 months, January through March, go back with me to James 1 and look down in verse 25. And you'll see that the passage says, "Whoso looks," some of your translations will say, "looks intently." A translation or two will say gaze, and that's the word that I chose because I really think that's the idea. I know it is in the original language. It's the idea of staring, but that's kind of negative in our connotation. But gazing, a long look, an intense look. We're going to talk a lot about that. Not everything about it this morning, but the idea of gazing into the mirror, really taking the time to look. When I'm getting ready, I'm going to a special event. I think back, for example, to the day I got married. And, you know, like all weddings, some things go right, some things don't go right. It was raining as hard as I ever remember it in my life. So naturally, I got ready at home, and by the time I got to the car, got out of the car, went in to pick up the cake, came back out, got into the car, got to where we were getting married, got out of the car and went in, you can imagine the way my hair and everything looked. So it had to be totally redone. So I can remember standing there in the mirror and kind of laughing about it, you know. I'm going to be comfortable today. I was looking in the mirror. I was seeing what a disaster it was. I was thinking about Montel and really thinking, oh, man, I hope, you know, I hope she had an umbrella or whatever. Because, oh, you know, I sure hate for her to be nervous about all of this. But I'm going to be comfortable. But you know, the idea is when you look into the mirror, you see it for what it really is. I want us to do that. God teaches us to do that. Gaze into the mirror. See if everything's in place. You know, when you put on a tuxedo, and I don't wear one of those very much. But when I do, I want to make sure I get all those little things adjusted. You know, is the cummerbund adjusted, all of that. That's what he's talking about. Gazing into the law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. Notice, and continuing therein. Here's the idea of a daily look. Not an every once in a while visiting the Bible and saying, whew, you know, I'm not that. But it is the idea of me looking every day. Honestly, how do I really look, and especially to God? Where am I in my walk with Jesus Christ? So that's what we're going to be focusing on in this first quarter. Gazing into the mirror. Taking an honest look at myself. Really gazing into the Word of God, or looking into the perfect law of liberty. Really thinking about the reflection I see. Paul said something in 1 Timothy 4 that I think goes very well with this passage. I'd like for you to turn over there and read it together with me. I decided as I was putting together some of the material, and incidentally, one of the things that I'll be doing, you may look on Michael's Corner on our website, and I just started a page on there where I'm just starting to put up sermons we're going to be doing. And there's several throughout the first quarter, especially throughout this month, obviously. But you'll be able to glance at that every now and then if you want to and see where we're going, where I'm going in my teaching, where Wes is going, what sermons we're going to bring that are germane to this whole topic. One of the passages that I'm going to focus on in the first quarter especially is the one that we find here, where Paul said to Timothy, and I find this interesting, one of the last things Paul would say to this younger man, Timothy, notice this beginning in verse 13, "Till I come," and they were separated, obviously, again, "till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." That's an interesting triplet, if you will. I'm not going to really break that down and explore all of that this morning, but just kind of go reflect on that a little bit. I want you to give attention, attendance to it, devotion, we sometimes would say today, to reading, to exhortation or encouragement, to doctrine, to teaching. Notice how he goes on here. Don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the elders. Meditate upon these things. On what? What you're reading, the doctrine, your encouragement, your exhortation, etc. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Notice that idea, the level of commitment, that your profiting may appear to all. Then, especially verse 16, you can see I've underlined it here. Take heed unto yourself. You know, the Bible is teaching us in James 1, and together with this passage in 1 Timothy, you need to pay attention to you. And there are a number of Bible passages that say that. Rather than everybody else out there in the world, rather than what everybody else is doing, good and bad. You know, I could never be as good as that person over there. Why try? Or on the other hand, I'm a whole lot better than that person over there. God is saying, you look at you. You pay attention to you. When you go before Jesus on Judgment Day, Jesus is going to look at you. You know, He's going to look at me. And when I stand before Him, I'm going to have to give account of me. So take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Notice again, continue in them. Just like James says in James 1. Because in doing this, you'll save yourself and those who hear you or other people. We're going to ask some questions throughout this quarter. Who am I, really? Not just the face I put on, how I look to other people, how I fake it to other people. But who am I? Am I a Christian? What is a Christian? And am I really a Christian? How does God see me? You're going to ask questions like, where am I spiritually? And if you want to really take part in this, you're going to be honest with yourself. Because this is just between you and God. This is not you reporting to me or reporting to Wes or reporting to, you know, some of the people here or whatever it might be. This is you and God. Where are you spiritually? What are your strengths? And you have them. You have abilities God gave you. You do some things very well. I think I know most of you well enough to go around this room. And if you don't know your strengths, I can point some out to you. And I can say to you, you know, you do this really well. And you're an example to me in this and that. But also, where are my weaknesses? A lot of those are more private. I know them. And God knows them. And so I need to devote attention to that. Lastly, we'll ask questions like this. What will it take to get me from where I really am to where I really want to be? And we're going to talk about that movement, that process. And there'll be more lessons, even starting in a couple of weeks with Wes and I both. There'll be lessons this month. But we're going to talk about that process, that movement. In the second quarter, and I'll be a little more brief about these next three quarters because you're going to hear a lot more about them. But starting in April, we'll focus, go back to James 1, verse 21. We'll focus more on verse 21. And especially we will focus on this idea of receiving the engrafted word. You know, when you graft something, whether it's skin, as we talked about this morning in my class, or it's a plant where you take a part of one plant and attach it to another one. I knew a guy, for example, I told you this just a few weeks ago, but he grew an apple tree with six different kind of apples. It was the craziest looking thing. Branch would come out and have this kind of apple. Another branch would have that one. He grafted all these trees together into one. It becomes part of you. And that's the idea. Letting the Word of God take root in my heart, and thus to guide my life. Receive with meekness. I'm going to talk about that idea, that attitude, that disposition of receiving with meekness the engrafted word. But I'm also going to look at a passage in Hebrews 4. I'd like for you to turn back a few pages and read this one with me. You probably can quote it. But let's read it together. Hebrews 4, down in verse 12. For the word of God is alive. And I want you to see that. King James says quick, the word is alive. The Word of God is alive, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces. Now, you know, you can take a two-edged sword or a blade on each side, you ram it right through the heart. But this is saying it's more powerful than that, because it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, spiritually speaking. It is a discerner. Notice that. When I look, gaze into the Word of God, and I begin to receive it, graft it into my heart, it becomes a discerner. It separates. It discerns between the thoughts and intents of my heart. That's why people, so often, when we get to a certain point, we find, Wes and I find this in our study, you probably do as well. You get to a certain point, and the Word of God really begins to divide, discern the thoughts and intents deep within the heart. And you'll find some people just slamming the book shut. I don't want to hear anymore. And the reason they don't want to hear anymore is because it's pushing them to change. It's demanding. They, in their heart, because of the Word of God, are demanding change. And that's what we want to talk about. The idea of the Word of God being a vital part of my life. Am I slamming it shut at times? I don't want to hear it anymore. Or is it something I can't live without? Has it become so vital to me that I now let the precepts of God supplant, that is, move certain things out of my life, because it moves them out of my heart? And is that happening? Or will I let that happen if I haven't been before? That's the next step in the process. After gazing, then comes the grafting. In the third quarter, that is starting about, July? We will start looking at verse 22. And if you want to turn back again to James 1, but focus on some of the things that are within this passage. Notice the difference here. Not just hearing the Word of God. We've talked about in my class and in different studies I've had with people, we talk about the idea of, you know how when you're in a Bible study, perhaps a sermon like this one this morning, whatever it might be, and you hear what God says, and it really begins to touch you. And you even maybe start making some mental commitments. I'm going to do better at this or that. You know what your weaknesses are, whatever. I'm going to try harder with this. I'm going to develop this strength in my life even more. I can do more. And you know how that, you make those commitments sitting there listening to a sermon, or maybe when you read the Bible or you go to a Bible study or whatever it might be, and then you walk away from it and life takes over and you forget everything you were thinking about over there. When I was back at Wendy's and Wes was teaching, I was thinking this. But now I'm back to life, and this has to go on, and that has to happen, and I forget. Well, the Bible teaches us that what we need to do is learn how to walk away from the mirror, but yet take it with us. Not forget what we've seen. Not forget what we've heard, but do those things we thought about doing. And there has to be an orderly process for doing that. And so the idea is remembering, notice, not who you are, but what you are. Straightway this man beholds himself. Notice verse 24 again. You can look right above it on the screen here. He beholds himself. He goes his way. And immediately he forgets what manner of man, what kind of man he was as he looked into the mirror. That's the point. Now I want to learn how to take that away from my times when I'm intently and intensely with God. I want to learn how to take that out into my life and remember, recall from the Word of God that I am a Christian. That's what I am. I may wear many hats in my life. I'm a husband, obviously. I'm a father, obviously. I'm a preacher, obviously. And on it goes. But above and beyond all of that, overriding all of that, I am a Christian. And I want to remember that every day, all day. And I want to be what God wants me to be, not forgetting what kind of man, what manner of man I really am. I want you to read with me a passage that may be a little more obscure than some of these others. We studied it recently in Revelation 7. Now, I don't have time really to go through Revelation, explain Revelation 7 this morning. But just suffice it to say, and I think you can go home and see this very quickly if you look at it. We're talking about Christians here. We're talking about God's people sealed to Himself. You can see that earlier in the passage. Drop down to verse 13. As one of the elders said to me, John is speaking here. He said, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from, is the idea. Whence are they, or whence came they? And I said unto him, verse 14, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, and here's the answer, who are these people? Listen to God's description of what a Christian is. And I find this interesting. Sir, you know this. He said to me, these are they that came out of great tribulation, great trouble, in a context of a book talking about living right in the middle of it. These are those who came out of great trouble, great tribulation. And they have washed their robes. We're going to talk more about that even tonight in tonight's lesson. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they become the throne of God. Or therefore are they before the throne of God. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. Now notice that. They serve Him day and night. That's what a Christian is. That's how God views a Christian. Not they come to church every Sunday morning. Not, Michael White, they prepare sermons to preach nearly every Sunday morning. They are the ones who serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sits on the throne dwells among them. That's the life of a Christian. That's the life of being a Christian every day. What do I have to do to be who I want to be? I want to be a Christian. We even sing that. I want to be a worker every day. I want to be a Christian every day. Well, what do I need to do to accomplish that? What are some practical suggestions, some good habits that I need to develop? How might I enhance my strengths? I want to be better at the things I do well, because that's what obviously my abilities, that's where they lie. That's what God wants me to be doing. And how can I help my weaknesses? Finally, in quarter number four, we're going to go to the 2 Corinthians passage and talk about the idea of really reaching that progression. That is where it becomes, and I want you to understand the idea, where it becomes a part of life where I am changing all the time. Changing from a better to an even better to an even better to an even better, more committed, stronger, etc. state of being as a Christian. Progressing to be more like Christ by doing the Word of God. Changed into the same image. That is the image of Jesus. From glory to glory. And I'm going to emphasize a passage in Romans 8 throughout this quarter. We were called by God. If you read verse 29, we were called by God to change, to conform into the image of Jesus. Sometimes I think that we have talked so much about we can't be perfect until we have settled for far less than the image of Jesus. We've demanded far less in our lives, and we've accepted far less in ourselves and in others, when all the while God is still calling us to progress to the image of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask some questions, hard ones. Michael, are you steadily progressing to be more like Christ? You've had over 35 years now at it. Where are you? Are you here where you need to be? How is my life getting better? I need to see changes. I need to be able to mark advancements, progression in my life. I need to be able to look back over my life and see difference. And that's the idea. Let's close out with a quote from this song. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. I use an analogy this morning downstairs, and I hope you'll indulge me for a moment to use a personal application of this. Someone asked me, where did a lot of this material come from, especially what we were looking at downstairs? And I said, well, it's been coming for years, several years. Some of it I developed a number of years ago because it was what I knew I needed to do, and I set it aside. I put it in a drawer, literally. A couple of years ago, I came over to the building, and I had to copy something. And by the time I got to the steps out there, I was huffing and puffing because I was out of breath. I had come down my stairs and walked over here. That's how out of shape, how bad it was. By the time I walked up these stairs and came in here, I had to sit down on that bench over there where Kenny is and catch my breath to go in and make my copies. Then I went back out and I walked back over to the house and I went up my stairs and I was heaving and huffing and puffing. And I walked in the bathroom and I took a long look at myself and I said, this is ridiculous. You know, this is not right. This is not where I need to be and this is not where God wants me to be. So I started pulling some things out. Not about everything, but about that. And I started changing some things right then and there, employing some of the things that I'm going to talk about in these lessons. Now, I'm not there yet. Just like I'm not the image of Jesus Christ. When you look at me, you can see a lot of flaws and so forth. But hopefully, someone can see something that's closer than it was 35 years ago. And when you look at me, as far as the being out of shape and the weight, you probably look at me and you say, you got a ways to go. You would be right. But if you knew me 2 years ago, you know that there's some things that are different. These are clothes that were buried, packed away because they didn't fit anymore. They're not new clothes. They're clothes that I pulled out and I put on because I can wear them again. Because my waistline is 10 inches, a little over, less than it was 2 years ago. That kind of thing. It's the process. It's a way of life. It's not a fad diet. It's not, you know, all of that kind of thing that gets you from point A to point B. It's real change. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. I dieted many times in my adult life. Never did I make a change in life. And it's going to feel real good. And boy, it does. I can't run, but I can almost run over here. I can walk fast. And I can stand at the copier, go back up the stairs and walk around a little bit. And then it occurs to me, man, the difference that it was today as compared to 2 years ago. It feels good, real good. It's a difference. It's not exactly right yet, but I'm making it right. That's the point. I started with the man in the mirror. It doesn't matter if you look out and see everybody else's flaws and faults and kind of condone and rationalize. It's okay if I'm like this because they are like this. I'm asking me to change my ways. That's the point. No message could be any clearer than it is in the Word of God. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Are you here this morning? You're not a Christian. You know you need to be. You want to be. You may even be afraid that you can accomplish all of that. The point is, make the step. Make the change. Be willing to say, I need to be a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I know He's the Son of God. I want to change my ways. I want to live my life for the Lord. Be baptized to wash all of the past away and start living with Jesus today. If you're here and you've been baptized and you're still in that position, a lot of us, maybe all of us are from time to time. Start over again. You can come up and we'll pray together with you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?